Here we go now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet. Aaron, right here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you smash that like and that subscribe button right down there. So a great big show and a great big week planned for you guys here. We're on the doorstep of March Madness. That gets going next week. But a lot to get into here in the world of sports. A lot of the weekend in the NFL. Some notes from Major League Baseball. And, of course, we're going to have our best bets. We have seven total between John Mettler and I. And we're on a decent little run here of profitable shows with our best bets. So I say best bets, that's extracting the SGPs out of them. Just our best bets. Winning shows in seven of our last 10. So we'll try to keep that going today and into this week. So let's bring in our guy here, John Mettler. And, John, I was tweeting about this yesterday, the spring ahead, the clock moves up an hour, which is good because we get more daylight. The days are longer. You can do more stuff in the evenings, especially when you have young kids. But I think it's ultimately a sign that you are truly washed if you get really impacted negatively by that 1 hour change, especially if you're a guy like me who's up all hours of the night on Saturday night watching the UFC fights. So I was feeling it yesterday. I was feeling like I was hungover. I only had two drinks on Saturday night. Did you get your ass kicked by the time change at all? Or are you not in the same category as me as a washed man?
I don't think I'm washed yet, but it wasn't until like late at night, I'd say, I even noticed, because I went to take my dog for a walk before it got dark. And I'm like, oh, usually like 6 o'clock or whatever. Then it was like 6:30. It was like still like pretty sunny, and I'm like, what's going on? And I thought about it for a second. I was like, oh, okay, it's the, you know, we gain an hour a night here. So I honestly didn't really even notice till then, but it's great. I like to take my dog for like a walk in the morning and at night, so that kind of adds. It's tough during the winter when it's like 5 o'clock, dark, cold, like awful. All the things. Yeah. So yeah, she's also a golden retriever, so she gets like super not now, but she gets super hot, so like you kind of got to go like morning or night, can't walk her midday.
I denied it for a long time, but I am, in fact, washed. I don't mind being at home on a Saturday night at 8 o'clock in my pajamas and my lazy boy. That is the life that I live here, John. Okay, enough small talk. A lot of news out of the weekend here in the world of sports, especially in the NFL. Just an avalanche of stuff out of the weekend and Sunday in particular. I think most notable, Myles Garrett is staying in Cleveland. They make him, I think, the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. And I absolutely hate this move for both sides. Myles Garrett came out. He demanded a trade. I want to go where I can win. Is that what you really wanted? You're going to stick around with the Cleveland Browns? I don't get it for them either. This is a team that needs to reboot. They need to go into a rebuild. That Deshaun Watson acquisition, the worst acquisition trade signing in the history of all the sports, set them back at least a half decade. Congratulations. You bring in Myles Garrett. You can get 6 wins, maybe tops next season. Garrett, you know, congrats. You got all the money, but how much more money do you need? This is a guy who's earned over $100 million already in his career. Could you not have gotten a big deal with another team? So I hate that for both sides. DK to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers, when's the last time they've made a deal like this where they make a big swing, a big trade, trading draft picks? I think it was only a second rounder was the highest one they gave away, but they gave DK a lot of money here as well. So I don't mind it. I guess we'll see what they do at quarterback. They're monitoring Justin Fields, possibly Aaron Rodgers. I think that makes sense for Aaron Rodgers. Do you want to go to the Giants? Rodgers, that makes no sense to me whatsoever for him. If he wants to win, go to the Steelers. You'll go 9-8 and lose in the first round of the playoffs because that's how it goes. But at least be competitive. Davante Adams to the Rams. I love this one. Very smart for Davante Adams, who's made a series of bad decisions over the past couple seasons. He leaves Green Bay, goes to the Raiders. That was a total mess. He gets out of the situation with the Raiders, goes to the Jets. I don't have to tell you guys about how I feel about that one. But, you know, a lot of people assumed he would be this package deal with Aaron Rodgers. Once again, no, he made the smart decision, goes to a great offensive situation for him, gets to play at least half of his games indoors there with Los Angeles. And finally, Geno Smith to the Raiders. I think this one went down on Friday evening. good for the Raiders. I don't know what the Seahawks are really doing. I understand getting rid of DK. What are you going to do at quarterback? They're talking about throwing some money at Sam Darnold. Maybe a Sam Darnold, an upgrade over Geno Smith. I do not think so. He's younger. I know that. But, hey, good for the Raiders. They're trying. Now all they need is another high-end wide receiver, a starting running back, and a couple offensive linemen. And that offense might be half-decent. John, out of those moves in the NFL, anything stand out to you that you are particularly opinionated on?
I thought the Myles Garrett thing was kind of funny, if we're being honest, because I don't know how you go from, you know, I want to be traded, I want to go to a winner, to all of a sudden it's like, hey, this is a pretty good contract, I'll just stay here. That's like the foundation of every good signing is like, let's throw them more money to the point where they just decide to stay because we gave them more money. That was kind of, I mean, that's what happened with them and Deshaun Watson, right? He was going to go, I think, to the Falcons, or the Falcons were kind of like the favorite. And then it was like they just threw even more guaranteed money and then he decided to stay. So
stupid.
Yeah, that's kind of one of those. That was weird. It's just a weird relationship even with like your fan base, right? It's like, hey, I want to leave. Actually, never mind. They gave me enough money. I guess I'll stay and I'll retire here. So that one's weird. Sam Darnold to the Seahawks. I mean, they have to have another plan, right? Like you gave away your quarterback. There's not really. If you eat in the NFL, you either have a quarterback or you don't, and currently they don't. So they must have they must be able to do something. And I guess that kind of means that the Vikings, they're either going JJ McCarthy, or they were kind of in that rumor for Aaron Rodgers as well. I don't know if that's the path they will go down. I'm kind of hoping it's not the path they'll go down, because I'm a Vikings fan. And I know everyone was like joking about, like, you know, but that's what Brett Favre did. Brett Favre went to the Vikings. And Aaron Rodgers, I saw someone Twitter, they're like, hey, I'm going to order my Jordan Love Vikings jersey for 24 right now.
There we go.
I think they're probably going JJ McCarthy. So quarterback carousel just kind of keeps moving. Like you said, I think Aaron Rodgers to the Steelers kind of, I guess, makes sense at this point too. So that was a big contract. Like, was it 5 for $150 for Metcalf?
It's very un-Pittsburgh Steelers-like, but they got to shake it up, though. I mean, the path that they did the past decade, be fairly somewhat competitive during the regular season, then get bounced in the first round. So they need to shake things up there. So we'll see what they do at quarterback. The Seahawks, kind of weird. Looks like, are they going into a rebuild? Is that just what they're accepting?
It looks like they're trying to go more run-heavy. It's kind of, that's what I saw some people breaking down, where it's like, hey, they're just going to go back to like pound the ball more runs. So, I mean, they still got Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Yeah.
Isn't Sam Howell would be QB1 right now? That was another thing I saw, that nothing frustrates me more. You know, when like everyone loves to bet on drafts, bet on NFL drafts, you bet on NBA drafts, all those things. And you bet on certain things and then you kind of see it play out in the future and you almost get mad, because that was like 3 years ago now. I bet Sam Howell to be drafted by the Seattle Seahawks. And obviously that didn't happen, but like now you look at it and you're like, there was obviously something there, like whatever you're reading and researching, because like now he's QB1 on their depth chart 3 years later. So I don't think he'll be QB1, but it's just always funny when you see things like that. You're like, oh, I think I was right, but like I wasn't right, you know?
Indeed. Okay, so some quick news out of Major League Baseball. I won't spend too much time on this, but it looks like Gerrit Cole is headed towards Tommy John surgery. He's going to get a second opinion there. And just a disaster lead up to the season here for the Yankees. It looked like they had some positive vibes going. You know, it was kind of unusual. They lose out to the Mets in the Juan Soto sweepstakes. But they had a decent offseason. They bring in Max Fried, Bellinger. It looked like maybe you can make an argument that the 2025 roster is better than 2024. Some more depth. They get the closer who came over for the Milwaukee Brewers as well. But now they're looking at potentially their number one starter, the guy they're paying a lot of money to, Gerrit Cole, being out for the entire season. Luis Gil, the red hot rookie from last season, he's going to miss 3 months. Giancarlo Stanton's going to miss a lot of time as well. Now, despite this, they're still favored to win the American League, which I do not agree with, and obviously favored to win the AL East as well. So we'll await the second opinion on Gerrit Cole there. And another big injury in the sports world, John, LeBron James, not going to be out a while. It looks like 1 or 2 weeks. I actually don't think this is a bad thing, as long as the injury is not too bad, because we talk about the minutes that have been piling up. The Lakers are in second place in the Western Conference right now. Now, they can't just take their foot off the gas because it's pretty tight, but he's going to miss a week or two. I don't think that's a bad thing, really. You know, a little bit of time off to rest, build up, recharge your batteries ahead of the playoffs a little bit. Not that big of a deal, right?
Yeah, they said the time frame was 1 to 2 weeks. They're coming up on a stretch here where there's 17 games in like 33 days. I know they have just a ton of games in a short amount of time. So I feel like there's also been pressure on the Lakers since the Luka trade to make sure these two guys are playing every TV spot that they get, because the Lakers are just on their, you know, ABC primetime, TNT, all these spots, and they're playing like back to backs and stuff. And so I feel like this kind of gives them a little bit of an excuse to like maybe rest some guys. And it's actually going to play into an SGP I have later here with Doncic as well, because he was kind of banged up on Saturday too. Like you said, I mean, this was last year where they're like sitting in the play-in tournament. It's kind of like almost devastating, right? He's out 2 weeks. They have a 6-game lead in the Pacific Division. It might be 5 now because the Clippers won last night, or 5.5. So they have a pretty good lead, and they're not going to fall. I mean, could they lose their seeding? Like, they're going to potentially be the number 2 seed. Yeah, it could affect their seeding. It's the same with the Knicks with Jalen Brunson. It's like, yeah, you have an injury. It's not great. You'd obviously rather everyone be healthy, but at the same time, you kind of have such a good lead and to where you are in the standings, you can kind of play around with it. Like, you're not going to completely fall out of it. You still have a good team. You still have Luka Doncic. So that's kind of my take. I think I agree with you. I think it gives them opportunity for him just to rest with like nobody bugging them. Like, it's load management. Like, it's like, hey, now we can kind of manipulate it a little bit. Maybe he's out for 3 weeks. You know, maybe it was only supposed to be 2. Maybe it's 3. So I think it puts him in a good spot.
They might milk it a little bit. And these TV networks, I've got to love this, you know, ABC and TNT, they pay this big money. It's weird that they don't flex out of these games. You're seeing like the 76ers in these primetime games, and the Dallas Mavericks playing on ABC against the Phoenix Suns. What? They got to be pretty pissed off. They're paying all this money in advance, and no one's going to be tuning in to watch the Phoenix Suns, who are in like 11th place, versus the Dallas Mavericks, who have, they're down to 4 players now, I think.
Yeah, they're down. They were talking about that yesterday on the broadcast, and I was laughing. You bring that up because I was like, man, like that's supposed to be like Luka versus Booker, like a great rivalry and stuff. 3:00 Sunday, like one of their best time slots. And now it's Max Christie against the Suns, who are below 500. The Dallas Mavericks, they were talking about yesterday. They can't sign anyone because of cap space, and the two way guys can only play so many games before they're ineligible. Like, they actually might run out of players, which is like a crazy, like NBA finals last year. Even like they're still above 500, which is like it's a wild scenario. I don't know, even like, imagine we get, you know, 10 games down the road here and they're like, hey, we only have like 6 players we can dress.
Yeah, they might have to forfeit the remainder of the season. Okay, so yeah, a lot to discuss out of the weekend. A very busy weekend, especially yesterday with all the news out of the NFL. More to come, and we will touch on it all this week as it happens. But for now, let's get into what a lot of people are here for, the action, the NBA action. 7 total bets for the two of us. Spreads, totals, props, and a parlay coming up last. You guys love these SGPs. Let's get started with a prop, though. The Heat playing host to the Hornets. And you are targeting one of the marquee players on the Miami Heat here, John.
Yeah, I know Bam Adebayo, over 3.5 assists. So it's been +130 last night. Sound about even money. When I saw this 3.5 +130 last night, I was like, did they put this in as a typo? That's always a good foundation of a bet when you're like looking at a number. You're like, I don't think this is right. I think this should be 4.5 +130. That would actually make sense. I was like, I kept double checking. I'm like, am I missing something here? I'm not. It's moved. You can see that's why it's, you know, it's moved. It's still really good price at even money for 3.5 here. He's playing the Hornets. Khalil Ware is back. So I think this gives you 2 opportunities from like a basketball side of things. Mark Williams isn't fast enough to guard Bam Adebayo, in my opinion. And then if they go someone smaller against the double bigs, like a Miles Bridges, they're just going to need help because they're smaller. So either way, I think, you know, a lot of their offense does flow through Bam Adebayo, but I think you have 2 things with potential assists. I think you can go, you know, he could attack Mark Williams and go over the top to a Khalil Ware as like a lob threat, or you have like all the dribble handoff stuff he does with his guards, and his guards should be able to convert potential assists against the Charlotte Hornets. It's not a good defense. So at 3.5, I was kind of stunned when I saw this. I think it's a great price. And even the last, I think, 3 games here, he's averaging like 8 potential assists. So he's a pretty good passer for a big guy. Everything should kind of flow through him, I think. So give me the over for Bam Adebayo.
Okay, off to Memphis, where those Phoenix Suns are in 10. And I'm fading the Phoenix Suns here tonight. I'm going to take the Grizzlies as a 4.5-point favorite here on their home court. And this is mainly a fade of the Phoenix Suns. Look at this spot. So they're coming off a win yesterday versus Dallas. Congratulations on beating the Dallas Mavericks. In this spot this season, the Phoenix Suns are 6-22-1 against the spread. I repeat, 6-22-1 against the spread in games after a win. They are wildly inconsistent. And they're bad. They're one of the worst teams in the NBA. I know you look at the names on the paper. You see KD and Booker and Beal whenever he's in the lineup. But since the All-Star break, it's not getting better. It's getting worse. They're 29th in net rating in the NBA. Also, their third road game in four nights. That doesn't help them here. If the season ended today, the Phoenix Suns wouldn't even be in the play-in. Meanwhile, the Memphis Grizzlies, they did struggle coming out of the break here, but starting to get a little bit of momentum going again. Consecutive wins, much better on their home court as well, where they're 22-10 on the season. Phoenix, when they go on the road, they're just god-awful. 12-21. That's straight up, not against the spread, but still absolutely stink here. So, yeah, we're going to back the Grizzlies, big-time fade of the Phoenix Suns. Next up, game of the year, John. I think these teams are playing for the second game in a row against each other. Raptors, Wizards. Not a lot of excitement about this game, but ugly game. Pretty good-looking betting opportunity. You think, tell us about the prop.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Emmanuel quickly, over 5.5 assists. So I think this really comes down to, like you said, they just played. They're both tanking. Neither team probably wants to win. Excuse me. Jamal Shedd just hit a buzzer beater and then didn't count. I'm sure Raptors fans are pretty happy about that one. So I think this prop really, for me, just comes down to minutes. You can evaluate any other way, but you have to be concerned that the Raptors just dial back minutes for quickly, if he even plays. He did rest last game, so I assume he's going to play this game. When I was looking at this, so like this, you can't just keep, like, they're going to have to keep pricing these to adjust for the minutes for the tanking. And I think they kind of are. And I think it's at a point where you can play the over. And when I was looking at this, like, his projection was like 7 assists, but that was at like 33 minutes. I don't think that's accurate. So I don't think he's going to play 33 minutes. I think it's going to be sub 30. So when you're looking at 5.5 plus 118, it's like, yeah, I still have a really good edge to the over. And I can drop this down to like 28, 27 minutes. And I think that's a very realistic number for Emmanuel quickly. So when you're looking at that from that perspective, it's like, I can account for the fact that they're tanking. I can account for the fact they don't want to win. I can drop his minutes and I still have a good edge to the over. They're not just going to keep giving away unders. You've seen a lot of underplays on a lot of these players recently. They're just not going to keep giving those away in the market. So I think at this spot, at this number, I think you can go for the over. From the basketball side of things, obviously the Wizards, they're not trying to win. It's not a good defense. If Quickley's on the floor, he's going to be able to create assists. His teammates are going to be able to convert them. 5.5 plus money is not a big number for him at all from the basketball side of things. I think it just really comes down to minutes. Are the minutes going to be there? And I think at this number, even with reduced minutes, you have an edge. So I'm going to play the over.
Okay, next up, let's go to Texas. The Battle of Texas. San Antonio Spurs playing host to Dallas Mavericks, the most depressing team in all of sports right now. And I'm going to be backing the Spurs by taking them to go over on their team total. And when producer Mick put this graphic together, I looked at it and I said, oh yeah, Chris Paul is on the Spurs, isn't he? Kind of forgot about that. So hopefully he can fill it up here tonight. Hopefully the Spurs can fill it up. I love this bet. Over 118.5 points for them. So the Dallas defense is getting absolutely cooked right now. Last five games, they are 29th in defensive rating. All five opponents have gotten into the 120s in terms of scoring. When they do go on the road, their defense is a lot worse, by the way. They allow 7.6 extra points per game on the road compared to at home. So that five-game sample size where Dallas is 29th in defensive rating, guess who is number one in the NBA in offensive rating? That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it is those San Antonio Spurs. 124 or more points in four of the five games. And this isn't a situation. The Spurs are in no place whatsoever where they can play down to the competition. They're a little desperate right now. They're just 2-7 in their last nine games. So the Spurs are desperate for a win, desperate for a good performance. The Dallas Mavericks, meanwhile, they're desperate for bodies. It's seven guys warming up for them there yesterday. And second game of a back-to-back here for Dallas as well. So really not a favorable situation for them. Hopefully San Antonio can turn that one into a track meet. go over 118.5. Okay, next up, the Orlando Magic playing in some higher scoring games for them here lately, John. They head to Houston to take on the Rockets, and you like Cole Anthony to get some buckets here tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to go Cole Anthony over 12.5 points. So, like, he's in the lineup because their offense is terrible. That's where his minutes are coming from. They need his offense. He's obviously he's not one of the better defenders on their team. But you look at this matchup. So, Houston Rockets, typically not a good matchup when you're talking about defenses and stuff. But they just lost Amen Thompson for a couple weeks here. So, he's out. That's their best perimeter defender by far. And then Fred VanVleet's also questionable. I think if he comes back, he's going to be on a minutes restriction. He's kind of, you know, he's a good defender himself. But they're the perimeter defense. I think they're two defenders now. Now that you're down Amen Thompson, like Dylan Brooks, Tari Eason, like those guys, they're going to have to key in on Paolo Banchero and a Franz Wagner because they're also like bigger physical defenders. So I just think Cole Anthony is going to catch like the best matchups of what's available on this Rockets defense, like a Jalen Green or someone like that. I think he'll be able to create shots and they'll have to lean on him just a little bit more because those two good defenders are going to be on the Magic's two best scorers here. So Cole Anthony, I know last two games, he's gone 20 plus points too. He's playing the minutes. The thing was too, another thing, like Emmanuel quickly, we're talking about the minutes. Same for Cole Anthony. They can fluctuate really good on him. Like you can have like a game of 24, like up to 32. It's kind of all over the place. But we had an edge on this with like pretty low minutes. So I like that as well. He did play 32 last game, not banking on it. It's like a mid 20s projection. So for Cole Anthony, I'm going to play the over here.
Okay, let's go to Sacramento, where the New York Knicks are in town, and I will be taking the home dog to cover the spread. Give me the Kings playing really good basketball right now at plus +3 here on their home court. So big statistical gap between these teams. It's not even close. Since the All-Star break, 4th versus 25th in net rating. The Kings playing really good basketball. Their only losses since the All-Star break have come at the Denver Nuggets, and two, the Golden State Warriors. Knicks offensively have been god-awful here since the All-Star break. They're 4th in effective field goal shooting percentage. The Kings are 4th. The Knicks are sitting there at 28th in the NBA. Just god-awful shooting numbers here. Knicks also 0-5 against the spread in their last 5 games as a favorite. They shouldn't be favored in this game, and we know Jalen Brunson went down with an injury. So he's missed 7 games since the start of last season. 4 of those games saw the Knicks lose by double digits. So, they're dramatically overvalued in this game here tonight. So we'll take Sacramento plus +3. And let's wrap it up here with our same game parlay, Lakers at the Nets. John, what do you have cooked up for this one?
Yeah, you're saying the top show, you're still sick. I was like, oh, I feel much better. I don't feel sick at all. I've lost my voice every single breakdown here. We're going Lakers, Nets. So this is kind of playing into what I was saying earlier. Luka Doncic was, so LeBron's out, we know that. But Luka Doncic was kind of nursing that back injury. He didn't look like he was running the best on Saturday. I think he's questionable. This is kind of priced like he is playing, but I feel like there's a chance he's not. And like, this is a game like you could probably go win if you want to with just Austin Reeves, but I'm going to take the 6.5 because if Luka's out, that's obviously a really good number. I still think you have a small edge on it, even if Luka is playing. And then also I'm going to pair this with D'Angelo Russell, 7 plus assists. Lakers, I think we all know the story there. Obviously didn't work out twice with the Lakers, kind of personal for him. And that perimeter defense, so like not only is LeBron out, Dorian Finney-Smith is also out for this game as well. So now you're looking at like that backcourt defense of Austin Reeves, Luka Doncic. He should really be able to create. I'm going to go Cam Johnson 20 plus points because I really just don't see. I feel like anytime the Nets are going to cover, you're banging on the Nets cover, I feel like you need 20 plus points from Cam Johnson. If he's not going to knock down threes, I just don't feel like you can get to that plus 6.5. He's kind of like the one consistent scorer in their lineup. A lot of guys are just like, you have like, you know, 10 guys playing 20 minutes. I feel like he's the one guy you always need to make shots in these games. So I'm going to pair those three together and it's plus 525.
D'Angelo Russell revenge game. That's all you need to know about that one. That's all you should have said for your breakdown there, John. It's funny. On Friday, I went 2-1 with my picks on Friday's show. Both of those hit by the hook. Oh. So we complain about the nights where, you know, you have bad beats and you lose by the hook, or the guy comes out of the game early or something stupid happens. Like when I had the Blazers to cover the spread last week against the Celtics, and they fouled for no reason with 6 seconds left when the game was completely over. But yeah, a couple of bets won by a hook. So luck goes both ways, people. So hopefully that good luck will find us again here tonight. To recap the best bets, Grizzlies -4.5, Spurs team total over 118.5, and Kings +3. John, what do you got?
Adebayo over 3.5 assists, Quickly over 5.5 assists, Cole Anthony over 12.5 points, and the SGP Nets Lakers, Cam Johnson 20 plus points, D'Angelo Russell 7 plus assists, Nets +6.5.
Okay, there you have it, baby. That does it for the Monday edition of Before You Bet. We're going to be right back with you guys again tomorrow and throughout the week here on the Covers YouTube channel. If you like the show, it's very easy to let us know. Smash that like and that subscribe button right down there, and hit up the comment section right down there as well. What are you on tonight in the NBA? What do you think of the moves out of the weekend here in the NFL? Do you agree with me that it's a stupid move for both sides? Myles Garrett linking back up with the Cleveland Browns, going to go 6-11 for the rest of his career there at best, probably with the Browns. Just a disaster of an organization. Okay, let us leave it at that. Thank you to John for joining. Thank you to producer Mick. Thank you to our sponsor, BetMGM. Make sure you check them out for all of your sports betting needs. And most of all, thank you to all of our great viewers out there. Thank you guys for tuning in. Enjoy the games tonight. Best of luck with your bets, and we'll catch you guys again tomorrow. Woo!